Sal Capaccio.
Sal's everywhere. Well, Sal's at minicamp. Sal's at your golf. Yeah. I saw Sal. I saw him at T-ball.
Wait a minute. The thing you were at for why you couldn't golf, yep. Sal was at, but he also golfed?
Apparently.
No one's able to do more things at one time than Sal. He's the man of all trades.
He might just own a helicopter and we don't know it.
Get to the chopper!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Are you, is the Capaccio copter on standby? Where are you going next, Sal?
I did not hear that. You guys, I don't know when you talked about that. That's pretty funny.
That was
did see each other. I did golf that morning.
I
yes.
know, I know.
And then I saw you.
That was yesterday we talked about that. The Capaccio copter from Bill's rookie camp to scheduling headquarters and all these, you know, secret locations. Anyway.
Yeah, so I was at Delaware Park last night. Surprised I didn't see him. Max had baseball practice. I was out there and we were walking the loop. We went early. He was riding his bike. It was beautiful out. So walked the loop. It was just beautiful. I love that time when it's just so nice out and there's so many people out there walking the loop, Delaware Park, and there's golf going on, there's baseball going on. It just reminds you how great this area can be at this time of year when it gets warm.
Yeah, everybody kind of comes alive. It's nice out there today. Might get some rain through the week, but we'll make do. All right, Sal, so we've got rookie camp to kind of catch up on your thoughts on that, things you saw, things you heard, and also the schedule release, it's underway. We get more on the way today, and so far we've seen the kickoff game, the Black Friday game, and the Christmas night game. And, you know, for Bills fans, and you might have been one of these people that thought the Bills would get one of these Black Friday, Christmas, Thanksgiving windows, are you kind of leaning towards not getting anything because it's not Black Friday and it's not Christmas night? It would have to be Christmas 1 or 4, or Thanksgiving night is still available, I suppose. Are you thinking maybe it's trending toward avoiding a holiday?
I think it is. Thanksgiving night is still intriguing to me. I have not heard anything on that or thought about it very much because I was pretty focused on Christmas night for quite a while. I think we were on together maybe a couple days ago. I think I might even text you and said, the latest I'd heard is they will not play on Christmas. And then it came out that they're not on Christmas night, so I'm thinking it won't be at all on Christmas. I don't know, but it just seems to me like that's not going to be the case. I had heard that it was trending towards not playing on Christmas, and then we got the word that it's not Christmas night, so I think that's the case. However, let's remember, the NFL does have that Saturday block of games Christmas weekend, we know now, they announced yesterday, that Prime is going to choose from. One thing I want to dispel for everybody here. So Josh Allen's going on the Today Show tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of talk about, okay, he's going to announce they're playing on Saturday after Christmas at night
Peacock holiday exclusive.
Yeah.
Is
right.
That game.
Okay. But if you read the release, it says that game that night will be chosen from a pool of games.
Yep.
Later in the season. So no, I don't think it doesn't matter if it's Josh Allen or mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes or anybody. No one can say we're playing that night because no one knows they're playing that night yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's going to be a game chosen later. I do think it's possible still the Bills do play in that window, but we would know. And I also think it could be possible Sunday night that weekend. I just feel like there's going to be something to close the stadium out in the regular season at least, right? But I don't know for sure about that. Thanksgiving night is intriguing, like I said. So for a while there, you know, Matt Bowie and I would talk about this a lot on the podcast and talk about, okay, like we would think they'd get one of these spots. And then just over the last, I guess, week or so, just maybe longer, started hearing, well, maybe not that one, maybe not that one. So I don't really know what's left. They'll still be featured plenty in prime time, but maybe it'll just be in spots around the schedule that are a little bit less noteworthy, I guess.
Coverage of the NFL schedule release on WGR presented by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. We get more games announced today, including the international schedule. And there's a lot of reporting on that one, Sal. It feels like the international schedule is harder to keep secret because team reporters out there know it. The Vikings, it's been weeks they've been reported they'd be going for multiple overseas games. And I've seen that a couple places. So it certainly looks like the Bills are going to be avoiding an overseas trip.
Yeah, I figured that might be the case. We always talked about Dublin, but it always tracked as it was either going to be the Packers. And then for a while, it's like, well, Steelers are going to probably protect the Packers game. Then we come to find out, and this is kind of new news, guys, that apparently teams can protect two games from going international when they're the home team. Mike North never said anything like that when we've had him on. Over the years, he's done that. And I don't know if the NFL ever wanted it out there, but it was reported recently, if you could look it up, that now you there's, I don't know exactly who put it out there, but apparently it's true that teams can protect two games. I wouldn't be surprised, I don't know this, if the Steelers said, we're protecting the Packers and the Bills. The Bills have the MVP of the league. It's a big game. We'd like it home. We don't want to ship it overseas. So that leaves you with probably, you know, unless you do a division game, that leaves you with Vikings and Seahawks, I think. Well, Vikings fit. They can go there. They can go to London back-to-back weeks. So it looks like all those games are getting slotted in for international, and the Bills won't be playing international. I mean, they're going to go back at some point. Maybe next year when the AFC is more of the road team in these games because of the extra game. That might, you know, work out for the Bills. Eventually, everybody's going to be going over it a little bit more. But, yeah, it looks like the Bills are not going to be going international, according to the reports so far, you know, that we've seen out there that look like it's trending that way.
I did not know about protecting the games. So where I saw it was the Chargers and Chiefs, which has, again, not officially been announced for Brazil yet. Right? Like, that's another one of these international games.
Should be coming this morning, though.
Yeah, but the report was the Chargers did not protect the Chiefs as their opponent in Brazil, so that's why they go.
Yeah, really interesting, right? That the Chargers wouldn't protect the Chiefs. Division game against them, right? The defending AFC champions. You would think they might want to protect that game. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to protect or not protect games, right? Think about it from a team standpoint. It's not just the opponent having a home field advantage you want. There's also business aspects, right? The Chiefs go to the Chargers every year. So if you, maybe the Chargers have teams where, okay, these teams don't come into our place every year. And when they do, they take over our stadium, right? Like when Buffalo comes, right? Buffalo goes to LA. They have all these fans in there. Maybe, you know, something like that. I don't know. There could be a lot of reasons why you might want to protect one team or another team and say we want for the economy, for the business aspect of it, whatever, something like that. It is very interesting, but yes, I after what I've read, it appears as though teams can protect two games that they're when they're the home team to go internationally of teams they don't want to play there.
Right. That I wonder if the Chargers is just, hey, this team takes over our building all the time, and they would treat a division game differently than, like, I wouldn't imagine the Bills would ever want a divisional game that would be eligible to be taken in a spot like that. Do you, listening to you with Mike North, Sal, I was wondering about the Chief game this morning and where that might end up, not just for timing, but whether it'll be 425 again. Do you feel like that is likely because that is what they treat as their most watched window? I mean, it is.
Yep.
And even though they've had it there the same, I think, did Mike even say this, that it's not like a birthright that it'll be at that spot every single year, but it's, you know, it's been that way for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, basically, they have to balance out to please the networks, right? The TV partners matter a lot. And, you know, you want to make sure that CBS gets, you know, you're already moving a lot of games into prime time where NBC is going to have it at night, and Monday Night Football and ABC is going to have it at night. Then you have Netflix and you have Prime. So, you know, you still want to make sure your main partners, your CBS, your Fox, wind up getting a lot of these marquee matchups. And that would fit really well for, you know, Chiefs Bills. That would fit well for Eagles Bills for Fox, right? Something like that. We have talked before, guys, about how many of the four main teams we've talked about with the Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Ravens, Eagles, would be 1 o'clock on Sunday, and maybe none of them. But that doesn't mean prime time. That 4:25 window is the most watched window of the week on these networks. So that to them is considered really prime territory, even though it's not prime time actual when it comes to the clock. So I would expect to get several of those games in that window. It's not, like you said, a birthright. You could put Chiefs Bills on a Sunday night. You could put it on a Monday night. There's no doubt about that. But the league, if they're going to be taking some of these other games off these networks and putting them on these night games, you're going to still throw them some pretty hefty bones to give them some of these bigger games. So I'm guessing out of those four teams coming to Buffalo, you're going to get quite a few of those 4:25 games. I wouldn't still doubt a primetime game. You know, it's funny. If you go back 2 years ago, one thing I've been thinking about, who would have thought the Bills 2 years ago would have been playing both the Broncos and the Buccaneers in primetime, right? Remember that when they did that at home?
Yeah.
And you think, man, why did they do that? Why did they put those games in primetime? And the Bills played them at that time. And then I think about Mike North saying, look, years ago, you'd have to pair the Bills up with an anchor team, a team that you know everybody's going to go watch. So, okay, you want to throw the Bills a bone and their fans a bone, you put them on prime time. Now it's reversed. Guys, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a team on the schedule that isn't a marquee matchup, quote unquote, but they're a primetime game because they're like, hey, we're going to put them against the Bills because that will get the country to watch that team because the Bills are the anchor we're putting them against, just like it used to be the other way around.
Are we about to say the same thing?
We're all speaking it into existence, Sal. It's the totally selfish schedule ask. Bills at Carolina on a Monday night in October, November for the golfing trip, and then the Bills and Panthers in the Monday night
window. I love
it. Come on,
I love it. I wouldn't be stunned. To get something like that. I mean, the Panthers had a few nice moments. They have a young quarterback that can be exciting, starting to come on last year, right? Mm-hmm. There's reasons, and you're gonna put them at some point. They're probably going to play a primetime game, I would think. I mean, you don't have to. It's not the rule anymore. But that would make sense, you put it in a game like that.
Ooh, I forgot that. That's not a rule anymore? That everybody has to have a primetime game?
No, I don't believe so, no. I think it works out where it pretty much happens anyway, Joe, but I don't think you have to do it.
Gotcha.
Sal, real quick before we get to minicamp, one more on the schedule in Mike North. What about games that don't happen a lot? You know, we get Bills Chiefs every year. We get Bills Ravens a lot. Cowboys and Eagles, they've played in a Sunday night game every year outside of last year since 2009. Like, you get
2003, I thought, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe it was 2003.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting to is, like, Bills Panthers, teams that don't play each other a lot, is there any appeal to the idea that, like, oh, these uniforms aren't matched very much? It's a fresh look. I just wonder if there's any sort of, we haven't seen the Chiefs play the Cardinals in 8 years. Let's elevate that a little bit. I wonder if that ever happens.
I think it does, considering who the teams might be. So, for example, I do remember a conversation several years ago with him talking about the Cowboys and Steelers. And, you know, they've played in the Super Bowl 3 times, right? You go back years, though. It's two very traditional teams with very large fan bases. They only play once every 4 years. Now, it can be a little bit more than that with the 17th game, but they only play once every 4 years. So when that happens, like, where you place them matters, because you're going to get your CBS or your Fox, depending on which network is home or a road, go, wait a minute, like, we only get this matchup once every 8 years, once every 4 years, and, like, where do you want to put that? And I always think about him saying that. So no doubt about it, it can matter. I don't know if it matters when it's two teams that, you know, don't resonate as much, aren't as good, things like that, but I do think it matters for teams like that, Cowboys and, you know, Steelers matching up. I just read, speaking of the Vikings going and playing the Browns in London, because it'll be Vikings at Steelers, it looks like, week 4 in Dublin. Sorry, Vikings in Dublin against the Steelers week 4. They stay there. They play the Browns in London week 5. And someone made the point, and I haven't looked this up to see, but it would make sense, that the Vikings actually haven't played in Cleveland since, you know, whenever. And like, well, wait, that really sucks. You know, they never come here. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder. I don't think they care about that necessarily because it's Vikings and Browns right now, right? But I would understand the sentiment of anybody or a network, like, for certain teams that go, hey, that's our chance to have that matchup we don't normally get.
Right, maybe Bills and Eagles would be that this year.
Okay. Right, exactly.
Like, to consider they're both marquee teams and you get them only once every 4 or 5 years, whatever.
Sal, wrapping up rookie camp this weekend, you had all the Bills rookies in. You know, the off-season programs continue. What kind of takeaways did you come away with watching some of these younger guys?
Well, I wrote a few, observations, and one of them was Max Hairston is just such a phenomenal athlete just on the hoof when you watch him. His hip flipping, you talked yesterday, you heard a lot about hip flipping.
Yeah.
And some of that was my video that I put out, and you could see it. He's running right down the line, bam, 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 hips, hips, hips. Looks great. And then you could see he really has nice hands. You know, when the ball comes to him, you can see him catch the ball with his hands, doesn't get into his body. Little things like this that you can notice, and what made him such a great athlete and first-round pick at Kentucky. So you can see that. Landon Jackson is just a massive presence on the end of the line, on the end of the defensive line. You know, he's just got this, he's got an NFL body. You can see it right away. You know, when he stands there, you can tell. And, you know, he's going in rookie minicamp against guys who aren't NFL veterans and these as big of bodies maybe as some of these other guys. So it matters even a little bit more when you see that. Caden Prather had a really nice day when we were out there. We only got to watch one day. He was catching a lot of balls. He was finding zones. I felt, you know, that means he's running good routes. I do want to caution, though, and this goes to the Jackson Hawes point. Jackson Hawes was also catching everything. Jackson Hawes was, like, in on the first play. They threw it to him later on again. He just was catching everything. And, you know, you write that, and people are like, oh, my God, are they going to use him as a pass-catching tight end? No. Let's remember this. I want people to understand how this works. these are guys who now in rookie minicamp, like the draft picks, it's probably their only chance to get all these reps. So they're going to be using them a lot and throwing the ball to them a lot. Once Jackson Hawes is in OTAs with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and Zach Davidson, how many times are they actually going to be able to, how much is he going to get on the field for them to throw him the ball? Probably in not very much. So guess what? Do it now. So that's why you see him at rookie minicamp getting all these throws. So same thing with Caden Prather. Like if you're the Bills coaching staff, you're not putting people on the field at rookie minicamp over Caden Prather because those people probably aren't making the team. You want this guy to get as many reps as possible right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
Anyone from the UDFA pool kind of stand out to you or catch your eye? I asked Joe Marino about this the other day. Because, you know, that'll happen. Last year it was Joe Andreessen that makes the team. It can. But anybody, is it tough to kind of stand out? Because, again, it's rookie minicamp versus, you know, something down the line.
I would say I didn't see anybody that kind of stood out. And I'm like, oh, wait, man, that guy looks really great.
Mm-hmm.
There was a name, though, that... I have him on the Extra Point Show the week of the draft. His name is Matt Jaworski. Matt is from St. Francis High School. And because we bring up Joe Andreessen, same kind of similar story where, you know, he went undrafted. But this is not just a local kid gets a tryout situation. He was the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. He went to Fordham. And, you know, he's got an NFL body and he can play defensive end. And he's a bit of a tweener, you know, linebacker, defensive end. But it was nice because we caught up with him because he's a local kid. He grew up in Hamburg, I believe, but went to St. Francis High School. And then he went down to Alabama for the last year of his senior year because it was COVID and they didn't have football here. So he did that. He went to Fordham. So just a story like that, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden, you know, you hear a player like that get signed because it's not just local. He also went to the Seahawks camp, but he also was a guy that put in, you know, and had a very productive college career. So that is something that stood out. And then, you know, one thing that was interesting was you look over to the side and there's all these specialists and it's all guys that are just on rookie tryouts, right? They're not even really UDFAs that are signed coming in because the Bills have already specialists on the roster and they're kind of standing off to the side doing their thing. And you're like, that's cool. They get a chance to be here, but you know, they're probably, once the weekend is done, they're off to somewhere else now.
Yeah. Are they, I know there would have been a couple of tryouts for this, but where are the Bills at with punter right now? Like, are they going to bring in another veteran body? Are they good with what they have? Do you think going into training camp, like, how do you see that position?
I think they're good with what they have right now, Joe, but I think it's a position where they would probably have a pretty short leash if they needed to, you know what I mean? And say, okay, we're going to bring someone in if they don't like early on in training camp what they see. Couple of notes here, right? Number one, Jake Camarda is one of the punters. Jake Camarda actually was fourth in the NFL in yards per punt 2 years in a row. He's a young guy still. They went through a coaching change on the special teams side in Tampa, and after that happened, things started to not go well for him. They went through like three punters. It's like last year, the beginning of the year. But if you go back to 22 and 23, Jake Camarda was actually very good as a young punter in the NFL, and he's on the Bills. And I think the Bills probably believe that he can still be very good for them. So I think he has the upper hand going in. Then you have Brad Robbins, who's been in the league a little bit as well. So I think they'll let these guys kind of battle it out, and we'll see where they go. But the other part of this is, let's remember, I mean, the Bills, A, don't punt that much anyway. And B, with the new rules, you're going to get even less punting, right? So I think it's one of those positions where if you want to maybe get away with having a cheaper guy, a younger guy, you know, I'm not saying that you just say you don't care about it, but maybe you don't have to think about it as much as you did before. And obviously holding's a big point. Make sure the guy can do that. We talked about that many times. But it is a position now where it might be a little less valuable, to be quite honest, than it has been in the years past.
When you say less punting because the new rule, which rule is that?
So the kickoff touchback rule.
Okay.
So because kickoffs... So last year, if you go to the last year's rule, the touchback, you go, no, guys, you took it out to the 30-yard line, right? Mm-hmm. One of the impacts of the rule, punting was down last year because teams don't have to go as far to get to midfield.
Right.
And
okay.
They're not punting as much. They're either going forward or they're kicking long field goals. Well, now, because you're moving up even further, that's going to take away even more punting.
Yep. Okay. Because the field position effect, basically, yep, is what you're saying. Makes sense.
100%. And the numbers bear it out. There was a lot of talk about that at the owners' meetings, Jared, which is Darren Rizzi, who's the special teams coordinator, who was part of that at the owners' meetings. Like, he went into detail some of the numbers, and they were pretty striking, like how much punting was actually down.
By the way, Kamara, I don't know that this is something that would even get talked about until training camp. Kamara was the kickoff guy in Tampa. So I don't know that they have any desire to take Tyler Bass off of that, but he had 107 kickoffs in 3 years with the Buccaneers, so he's done that too. So
well, there you go. I mean, yeah, and maybe, and I don't know. I mean, a lot of strategy this year might go into, you know, the new kickoff rule and things like that, because what you're saying with the kickoffs, what they're going to do, and you know, getting the ball where it is. But it's interesting to me that the punting aspect of the new kickoff rule maybe hasn't been talked about enough.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we recap rookie camp and also the schedule release. We'll continue on for that tomorrow. Thanks, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. When we return, I got two football questions for you about, you know, unexpected outcomes of a season. And what I mean is this year's Washington, this year's Jacksonville, right? The Jags were horrible, and I don't know if anybody expected that. And the Commanders went to the NFC Championship game, so... It's one of the beautiful things about the NFL is there's the belief that it can go great. Everything can turn around for you. And I think the league is already leaning heavy on one team being this year's Commanders. We'll get to that. Your phone calls as well. Your wish list. Selfish. Whatever you want. Be as selfish as you want. One thing you want to see on the Bills' schedule in the final year at Highmark Stadium. 803-0550. Wide open phone lines. Let's chat about it. Join us here on the phones. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Edwards, long three, and Anthony Edwards beats the buzzer with a triple.
Injury is a big story of the NBA playoffs. Tatum, add him to Curry.
Yeah.
The Cavs.
Edwards is amazing, though. Someone is going to really become like another level of star this playoffs.
Jalen Brunson or Anthony Edwards.
Yeah,
or
like whoever wins the title. Could be Halliburton from Indiana.
Yep.
I mean, really, the only if the Celtics go down here without Tatum, the only guy who's won that's left is Jokic.
Right.
Anybody else would be new, I think.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Schedule release. We're getting more stuff on the way today. More Eagles games. That's what I'm told. We're just going to find out the entire Eagles schedule.
Hey,
that's the plan.
If we find out where the Bills-Eagles game is, then I'm good with that.
That's fair. That's fair. CBS.
That'd be funny if that's the game Josh unveils yesterday in the Today Show. Week 2, Sunday night Bills and Eagles.
What's on the way today? The international games, which we kind of already know. The Bills are not playing one of those.
Right. And we know, I don't think CBS is till tomorrow morning.
Netflix is tomorrow.
Yeah, and Netflix, I assume, will just tweet out what they have again.
Yeah, probably.
And that's pretty much it.
So here's my question for you. One of the things these networks try to do is, you know, go big markets, exciting teams, exciting players. The Bears already finding out they're going to be in a big doubleheader and Black Friday. The league is going to be thirsty for the Bears to be good because they've never been good, right? Almost never.
They've never been interesting.
That's right.
They've had a couple of good seasons, but the teams have always just been like Trubisky made a playoff game.
That's right. And, that's right. And Jay Cutler made an NFC Championship game.
He didn't play in it though, right?
Maybe not. Okay.
Yeah, Haney.
They lose to the Saints.
Maybe he gets hurt early on, but yeah, that's right.
So I think that's right. They made a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, the Bears, but yeah.
Even all those teams are like.
Wow.
Right, Rex Grossman made it. It's like the joke of the Super Bowl teams that have made it.
Right. And the league would love Chicago to be a team like the Rams, the Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, right? To be not only successful, but interesting and exciting. And the hiring of Ben Johnson there, I don't know if it's going to turn around in year one. I do think they'll be good. They are going to get 6 primetime games. I mean, they're getting Black Friday. They're going to get standalones. And I guess
they often are a team that gets more than they should in the first place.
Would you bet on Ben Johnson making that work? Because I would. Don't we see right now an era of the NFL where the great offensive minds, they make it work with a quarterback that can play? You can't be terrible, but can you play? If you can play, can you be Purdy? Can you be Tua? Can you be, I don't know. There's 4 or 5, whether that's, is it only Tua and Purdy or are there a couple more here?
Goff.
I'm up to 3, and he did it with Goff. He did. Goff's not thought to be a great quarterback, but he can do the job.
All those guys, though, what I'll be very curious to see is what is he going to have Caleb Williams playing like? Because those three guys that you just mentioned, those are all quick processors.
On schedule.
On schedule, quick processors. Like, they're not going out of structure all that often. They can make the throws, but they're not really ever doing much above that. And what I've got in Caleb Williams is a dude that led the NFL in sacks with 68. And as the game was winding down on, what day was it? Was it Thanksgiving?
Yep.
Against the Lions. And the clock is ticking, and his coach got fired for this. He doesn't know what's on the clock. He doesn't recognize the game situation at all. And he is super talented and athletic, and his arm is incredible. But I question if that dude has it between the ears. But can Ben Johnson get him to kind of be better at all of that? I mean, I can't believe he'll have the same amount of sacks that he did.
Right,
but if he goes from 68 to 58, like, you're still taking too many sacks, buddy.
Well, if he builds the Lions offense, which is going to be, commitment to running the ball in big spots.
Play action.
They did not get their extra running back like their Gibbs to Montgomery. They have DeAndre Swift and then
Roshan Johnson still.
Okay, right. So the running back position, we'll see. But their receivers are set. Their defense is better.
Yep.
You're going to see a lot of the Bears. And last year was supposed to pop, but Matt Eberflus. Okay, whatever.
Right.
This is
It
different.
Was amazing they ever went into the season with him in the first place.
Yes, right. It becomes, the 11th time in 11 years a top three quarterback sees his coach fired after 1 year. So
yep.
The Bears will be a trendy pick to get more attention and to be this year's Commanders. Who's going to fall apart? Like Jacksonville just did. Who falls apart next? Is it Miami?
That isn't obvious because everyone would expect New Orleans to fall apart.
Yeah, but Jacksonville is not supposed to be picking fifth.
Miami's a good candidate.
I mean, Doug Peterson there, he gets fired. It goes south. The GM, they do a total house cleaning. And that's a team that had been competitive moving to pick fifth. They trade up to two.
Yeah.
And fire their GM, fire their coach, full-on overhaul. So what team is next up for the Jacksonville, which is it's never been more over. It's time to redo this.
Yeah.
You have any other candidate besides Miami?
What about San Francisco? Or is the coach too good?
Coach is too good.
The roster is starting to dwindle a little bit. And listen, even though that coach is a very good coach, he has had how many 5-win seasons has he had? 3?
Yeah.
Like, it happens. It does happen to him when his roster breaks apart, and that's been before it's been because of injury. Now it might just be because they can't pay everybody.
One thing about the Niners, though, they are starting to do this new thing. Again, we talk about like roster building and certain ways to do it. The Niners have done this now. The Rams have done this. And the Jaguars are talked about this way as well. They are going to be a team that says goodbye and drafts a lot of pieces. The Rams got this reputation of bleep them picks. Meanwhile, they had the most drafted players on their team. They traded first and seconds for established stars. They drafted later in the draft and hit on picks and drafted well. And I think the Niners, as all these teams kind of adjust to salary cap life and we got good and everyone got paid, what are we going to do? Say goodbye to these 5 players, draft 10 players in a given draft year. And the Niners have done that this year. They have you might not have high expectations for 6th and 7th round picks, but this year they came away with 1-2, 2-3s, 2-4s, 2-5s, 3-7s. The draft class is huge.
Okay.
You know, the Bills went in with 10 picks. They come out with 9. And we think that's probably a big number for the Bills. Here are the Niners coming out with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11 draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before was a pretty healthy draft as well. So, like, you just throw as many pieces as you can at it and wait for these guys to take jobs. It's kind of this idea that don't let some veteran placeholder hold a job for $12 million when you're not missing that much to give it to a rookie.
Yeah. Now, though, I wonder, because the Rams, part of why that strategy works is they have a quarterback that is, like, provably great in any situation.
He can stabilize,
right?
Yeah.
Like, all those years in Detroit where their rosters weren't perfect at all, and he's still putting up, like, giant numbers and getting them into playoff races. And Purdy has been very good, but he's had near-perfect rosters around him. And what does he look like if now it's a bunch of young guys that aren't stars? That, you don't have the best yak receiver in the league anymore to throw screens to.
And you don't have your number one receiver, who's the best separator. I mean, he's coming back from an injury.
Right, like you ACL don't know what version. And hey, guess what? Your superstar running back that was behind you. Oh, he just had a year where he couldn't stay healthy, and his Achilles now are big question marks. And, oh, the backup that he even had was pretty good. Now they shipped them out, too. It's like the Niners, I wonder what Purdy will look like if everything isn't perfect around him. So all that being said, though, they are the co-favorites to win their division. So, like, I could see it, though.
So if it falls apart. If it falls apart, and
it would be a surprise.
Let me ask you this, because you're the number one Kyle Shanahan hater. If it falls apart and they have the third pick, what are you going to clean house? You're going to let him pick a quarterback.
You'll let him pick a quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You'll let him pick a quarterback.
That's what I would do.
Again, though, he's had 3 6-win seasons and 1 4-win season. So in 8 years, half of his years are 6 wins or fewer. Like, yep. It does happen to him. But a lot of those years it is the quarterback injury or the whole roster around the quarterback. That was last year, right? Like, Purdy stayed healthy, but everything around him tumbled down. So I like them along with Miami. Because, like, Pittsburgh's too obvious at this point, isn't it? Just because it's the quarterback.
I mean, Mason Rudolph, right. Rodgers, by the way, getting a little bit of life breathed into the Saints situation. Would Rodgers go to the Saints?
Why would he do that, though?
I have no idea.
I wondered, a little conspiracy here, are the Steelers telling Rodgers, hey, don't, because I was listening to Mike North of Sal, and they're talking about how, like, well, we can't assume he's going to sign there by the time we make the schedule, and, like, that was impactful on maybe, like, the Packers and, like, other primetime potentials. Like, would they tell Rodgers, like, hey, just don't sign until after the schedule comes out, because then we'll get fewer primetime games, and then our schedule will be a little more consistent?
I mean,
but I don't think Tomlin plays chess like that.
That would be next level.
Right. That's not Tomlin-esque.
Not willing to go for 4th and 1 at the 50. Willing to tell a quarterback to not sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Conspiracies. We got to get to conspiracy talk with this Mavericks lottery win. Like, it's, if you believe sports are fixed, today's a great day for you. It might be a good day.
It's a great day.
To give us a call, chat about it. We'll mix some of that in. All right. Ride for Roswell. Coming up, let me tell you about that. You can join our team for the Ride for Roswell.
Saturday, June 28th, we'll be riding with Bulldog, and I'll be involved too, and Jeremy. So
we'll
once you
there.
Pick your team, you'll get your email, then you can pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle, and that'll be at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. And if you're not riding with us, you can still support the cause, donating to our team. You can help us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details.
All right. We opened this morning. I opened with what I thought was a joke, which was that the NFL schedule reveal will continue today by telling us more Eagles games. And then that happened. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on Good Morning America. Hey, here's your Monday night schedule. Let's whet our appetite. What do we got for Monday Night Football? Oh, we've got Eagles and Packers, November 10th.
Week 10.
Great.
I think you jinxed it.
We know 4 Eagles games.
4. Quarter of their schedule, basically.
Great.
We don't know a Bills game yet, but we know 4 Eagles games.
Remind me next year to not even care. I mean,
3 of them are November 30th and later, by the way. Or, November and later. November 9th was the one that was just unveiled, right? November 10th. So,
what are we?
3 November.
What on
and
earth?
On Eagle games.
What is this? Like, whatever. Then he was asked.
They did win the Super Bowl, I guess.
Okay.
So they. I don't know.
Congratulations.
Yep.
I got every single network's only telling me when the Eagles play.
Yep. Josh is going to tell us tomorrow when Bills and Eagles is. That's the rule.
That's right.
When do you play the Eagles? The official release tomorrow.
Meanwhile, Joe Buck did say a couple things. Asked about the rest of the slate, said, you're going to see the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Lions. Those are some of the teams we're going to see a couple times, hopefully. And then said, when asked, as the segment ended, who's your pick to win the Super Bowl? Joe Buck said, Buffalo.
Buffalo finally wins the Super Bowl, he said.
All right. Let's hope.
All right.
I mean, I like their chances. I like their chances. Right?
More than recent years?
No, about the same, which is
more than last year at this time.
Okay. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I would say that.
Yes, more than last year at this time.
I would say that. Not more than maybe 2 years ago, but more than last year.
Yeah, more than last year. That's right. Yeah. They have added a lot, and they didn't really lose much. Like, last year to this year is not right. – there's no story about who's the most impactful player that left. Mac Hollins.
Well, you know, like, this is a lesson in maybe a little bit of what their roster was. The guys that have left, if I put up a graphic of their departures – the top three names might be Amari Cooper, Rasul Douglas, and Von Miller, and none of which have signed with a team.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, their three biggest departures haven't signed anywhere.
Right.
They probably will, all three of them at some point, but not now.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Stay tuned for another Eagles reveal. The international schedule. What will the Eagles be doing when these other games are being played?
We're going to get their preseason schedule before we get anybody else's regular season schedule.
Coming up next, where the Eagles will be watching the international games from. 4 Eagles games. Get out. All right, 803. This is the problem. This is what you run into when you actually invest in the ridiculousness, which is we're going to tell you one game. I get invested.
Well, we know the Eagles won't be playing on Christmas. So,
how do we know that?
Because they'll be playing the Commanders on – I've got two games that are in pink on this graphic, which says that could – TBD Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
So they're either playing Saturday or Sunday, not on Christmas.
803-0550. Full schedule tomorrow. International games going to be confirmed today, and then are we done for the day? Was somebody else going to go today?
No, I think that is it. Right. I mean, eventually we'll start getting – real leaks.
Right. Not
schedule leaks are different though because they can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.